Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What a finish for the Nashville Predators last night. A 4-3 overtime win in dramatic fashion against the Calgary Flames. Mikael Granlund scores the goal with a tenth of a second left to tie the game 3-3 in the third period, and then gets the overtime winner a minute and 20 seconds into overtime to win the game for the Predators. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Justin Beasley from News 4 taking you through this Friday morning. And Justin, that was about as fun of an ending of a game at Bridgestone Arena as I think I've ever seen, especially in terms of a regular season game. There's not much more drama you can get than a winning a game in overtime after tying it up with a tenth of a second left.
No, you can't script it up any better. In the final tenth of the second, and then to win it in overtime, same guy, Mikael Granlund. It's been on a surge lately since the new head coach John Hines has come in. It's just incredible the way that they win that game. And as you said, right in the crease, it hit off the board. It's just, yeah, you just know it's not going to happen. As you mentioned, you're already writing your story, and then for that to happen, that's the reason we love sports.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, the unpredictability of it.
615-737-1025, if you've got thoughts on the Preds, are they turning a corner? Is this something that they can sustain as they go down the stretch here? Can the Predators become a dangerous team as the playoffs are upon us? 19 games left in the regular season. 615-737-1025 if you've got thoughts on the Nashville Predators. We'll take your calls and your texts. Ryan has called in wanting to weigh in on the Preds. Ryan, go ahead. Thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I got to say, probably last night has got to be the hardest that our big stars have worked for the last few games under John Hines. I mean, even after they went down that one goal with less than a minute left to go in the game, they didn't quit. They kept going at them. They kept pushing. They didn't look like the same Preds team that would go down by a goal and just give up like they normally have done. They just kept at it and just kept pushing, and they got to the dirty area where it needed to be at, and they got the game in tying goal.
I totally agree. Thanks for the call, Ryan. I thought the players really did work hard last night in that third period. Let's be honest, that second period did not go well for the Predators. They did not play well in the second period. Down heading into the third period, Roman Josi scores a huge goal to tie that game up 2-2. And it was really interesting because we've talked all year about how great of a season Roman Josi has had, and he has been great. That was the first goal he scored since, I think, December 23rd. And that's crazy to think about. I mean,
he's been a little quiet.
He's put up a ton of assists as of late, but that was the first goal I think he scored since December 23rd, and it came at a huge time. But to Ryan's point, I did think the stars last night, while the production still wasn't there for the most part, I think they did put in the effort and work and dig to try to get that game tied up in every way they could. Johansson had a couple really good looks. Forsberg had about three or four good chances once again, set up the goal for Granlund to tie the game with a tenth of a second left. So Duchene gets the assist in overtime as well. So you're starting to feel a little bit better about those guys potentially getting on the right track sometime soon.
Yeah, and those stars, like you mentioned, for whatever reason, have to get going. But it's kind of interesting that has been that long since Roman Josi's scored a goal. Why is it about this team that when Josi's really good, they kind of but when he's not good, when he's facilitating, they're better?
Well, I think there is, you know, he's a defenseman, so he's not going to score a ton of goals.
Yeah.
I mean, 15, I think, he's already tied his career high, and they have 19 games left. I do think there has been a little bit of an adjustment for him in terms of the way this system is run. It used to be he could pretty much carry the puck off the ice anytime mm-hmm. he wanted to, and he could still do that on occasion. You see him do that. But John Hines really focuses in more on just getting the puck off the ice to your forwards
right.
as quickly as you possibly can. So that's probably going to take away from some of his opportunities on the rush and shots that he's able to generate. But he's so good, he can still generate offense, as we saw last night with that goal there. Let's go to Randall, who has called in, wanted to weigh in on the Preds. Randall, go ahead. Thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm really happy with the boys. It's been a long time coming this season. I know we've had our ups and downs, and I mean, I can't be any more proud of them. Last night, we almost left the game because, I mean, they got the Flames scored the goal really late, about 42 seconds left. But, you know, we stayed, we supported our boys, and Mikael Granlund came through. I saw something where Pekka was ill and Mikael Granlund wasn't at practice due to an equipment day, and that really, really scared me. Because although hasn't been doing his best, he's really been progressing these past couple of years, and I think he has a really bright future with the Predators. And I'm glad that we kept who we have during the trade, and I think that there's a cup in our near future.
Hey, thanks for the call, Randall. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah, I think when you look at Granlund, certainly he's coming on as of late, and I think there was a lot of disappointment where he was concerned based on his production when he came in last year at the trade deadline. I mean, his production was virtually non-existent for the better part of this season, even though the underlying numbers and the stats were good. The production itself was not there yet. Since John Hines has come in and has taken over, he has just taken off and exploded offensively. And they've needed that because at the same time that Granlund has been playing really well offensively, Forsberg has struggled. Arvidsson has struggled. Johansson and Duchesne have struggled to be consistently productive. So imagine what position this team would be in if Granlund hadn't been as productive as he's been as of late. I mean, I think it's come at the perfect time for the Predators that he's been able to really carry this team offensively.
Yeah, and those guys know with the chemistry and lines that certain guys are just going through a funk or a slump or just not delivering on a nightly basis. And guys internally in that locker room know, you know, X, Y, and Z need to carry the load from here on out or just to fill in on those nights. I mean, that's just kind of the way that hockey goes, and that's what you have is – certain guys have it some nights, certain guys don't. And, you know, you're starting to see these, you know, not super big names for the Preds show up, but it's what you got to do to get the playoffs, especially in the position they're in now because they know that they're running out of time and they don't have to be perfect to end the season, but they have to be darn near perfect if they want to get to the playoffs. Because the game's in hand, they have to win.
That's right. Austin writes in on the text line and says, love the win, but I'm still concerned about the slow starts. I feel like they spent a lot of time in their own zone, and it's not just this game. Also, the power play still doesn't look good at all. Getting set up and getting out of their own zone seems to be an issue. And to Austin's point, yes, it was great they won that game last night, and it's hard to overstate, I think, how important that comeback is. There's still a lot of room to get better. I mean, to his point, the power play really hasn't had much consistency to it all season long. They have been spending a significant amount of time in their defensive zone as of late, including last night. I thought Calgary had the puck basically the entire second period in the attacking zone last night. UC Saros, gosh, he probably made five or six huge saves last night from point-blank range to keep that game 2-1 and give the Predators a chance to come back and win that game. So certainly not a perfect performance by any stretch of the imagination last night. Obviously, you'll take the win any way you can get it, especially in a dramatic way like that, that I think is going to be memorable to people for a long time, but still tons of room for improvement for this Preds team.
Yeah, just, you know, it's with UC Saros, it's almost every night now that we're starting
to see. He's playing really well.
These five or six incredible saves. I go back to the other night in overtime, just some of those incredible saves in the shootouts in eight rounds. You know, they don't win that game without UC Saros. And John Hines, let's be honest, the offense isn't there like it was, but it everything's kind of balancing itself out, and he's asking these goaltenders, however the way he's using them, to be good every night, and it's certainly more consistent play. 10 of their last 14, that's what they needed. That's what they had to have just to get in the spot they're in now.
Yeah, no question about it. We'll continue this discussion on the other side of the break. Can the Predators carry this momentum forward when they play a really, really good Colorado Avalanche team tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena? That's next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Justin Beasley here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Justin Beasley from News 4. And you hear that music, that means that we have tickets to give away, Justin.
What's that number?
615-737-1025. Caller 5 can win a pair of tickets to see Five Finger Death Punch at Bridgestone Arena on
now.
Sunday, May 17th. This show is presented by our sister station, 102.9 The Buzz. Again, that's a pair of tickets to see Five Finger Death Punch at Bridgestone Arena on Sunday, May 17th. Be caller 5 at 615-737-1025.
Great
again,
show.
That's 615-737-1025. Munson is a big fan.
Huge fan. I'll be there.
I know you'll be there.
I'll be live and in person.
Are you like are you a mosh pit sort of guy? Like, are you going to be going crazy in the middle of all that? Am I going to have to kind of like dig you out
of
there?
I'm very chill. Like,
I don't buy that.
I'm very chill. I go to concerts. I'm the chillest person in the room. I'm just standing there, listening to the music, vibing, dancing. Yeah. No mosh pits for me.
Something tells me that's just not true at all.
Yeah, I'm shirtless.
Yeah, he's sweat just all over just my going face. Crazy.
And still the calmest.
And then, like, you know when they do the things where everybody, like, separates?
Yes.
And then, like, then they just rush towards one another? Yeah, I'm doing all that stuff.
Well, if you want to see Munson at that concert, somebody videotape it for me. It'd be great.
Periscope.
Absolutely.
Let's not.
That's what social media is for. Big game for the Preds last night. Big win for the Preds last night. And now they switch gears and look ahead to Colorado. And Colorado plays tonight. So they'll be coming in on the second half of back-to-back. Colorado in Carolina tonight playing against the Hurricanes. So, obviously, a big test for the Predators tomorrow. The last time they saw Colorado this year, it did not go well, my friend.
We piled on Twitter, didn't we, that night?
It was not good.
That November 7th.
That was back in November, losing 9-4 to Colorado at Pepsi Center that night in a game where pretty much everything that could go wrong for the Nashville Predators went wrong that night. And anytime you score 4 goals in a game, I mean, you feel pretty good about your chances to win that game in the NHL. You certainly don't think you're going to lose by 5. Obviously, that's a long, long time ago in terms of this season and the way this Predator season has taken shape. But that just goes to illustrate how dangerous Colorado is coming in here tomorrow. And I know they have some injuries right now. Philip Grubauer is hurt. Mikko Rantanen is hurt. Those are two crucial guys for Colorado. But there's this guy named Nathan MacKinnon, who last time I checked, pretty good. Predators better be ready to play tomorrow night.
Yeah, he's pretty darn good. A lot of people remember him from that playoff series a couple years back. Did that game on Thursday, November 7th, that Colorado won 9-4, did it start out 7-0?
No, I think it was like back and forth for a while.
You sure? And then,
I think so, but that's so long ago.
Okay,
I don't know.
I could be wrong.
I don't think it would ever got to 7-0.
Okay.
Because that's a lot. I think I would have remembered that. Okay. That's like a touchdown.
I'm going to look it up.
That's my math
it was,
right there.
I just remember it was pretty bad, and I was like, whoa. Like, I've never
wasn't good.
Seen an avalanche of goals like this.
I see what you did there. An avalanche of goals. Man, that's why you're on TV. You're the best in the business.
Oh, really not that good with words, I promise you.
Mark writes in on our text line and says, why has Duchesne gotten more of a pass with his mediocre play this year? Seems he's an afterthought when calling out the top six. And what do you need to see out of him, more or less, in what he needs to do as they move forward? I think he's probably gotten more of a pass because he's new. Now, is that worthy of a pass? No, probably not. I think when you're looking at star players on this team, he is certainly a guy that's got to play better. And the Predators have a group of those guys right now. We talked about Forsberg a lot yesterday in terms of the lack of production he's had offensively, has not scored a goal for the entire month of February. But you look at Forsberg, he's second on the team in points behind Roman Josi. So you understand there's not as much scrutiny there for Forsberg. Well, Duchesne is third with 39 points. Now, having said that, 39 points in 60 games, just 12 goals on the season. That the goal part of it is the most disappointing part of Duchesne so far this year to me, because I tried to tell people this heading into this season. He had 70 points last year with Ottawa/Columbus when he was traded, just combined 70 points in the regular season. I think Duchesne had 10 points in 10 playoff games. So you're talking about, 80 points last year total in roughly 92 playoff games. That's pretty good pace. You look at the history of his career, he hasn't really been that guy. I mean, he's gotten 70, I think, twice in his career in terms of his point total. Other than that, he's usually, 55 points, 59 points, 58 points. He's somewhere around that area. Now, right now, I think it's going to be a struggle for him to even get to the 55-point mark just based on only having 19 games left in the season and having 39 points. But, last year he scored 30 goals. Right now he's at 12. The goal scoring has got to start to come from Matt Duchesne with more regularity. And he's bounced around from center this year to the wing spot at times. I mean, we've all talked about the line shuffling that's taken place for the majority of this season. But no question, Duchesne needs to be a lot better than he has been. And if it seems like he's getting a pass, shame on us. He shouldn't be. I mean, he's a guy that's getting paid $8 million per year. He needs to be better. There's no question about it.
Yeah, we already brought him up a couple of times on the show, just needing to be better. I mean, not talking ad nauseum about it, but he's definitely in that group. But you mentioned earlier in the season how good he was and off to that start. He's capable of these spurts, though, right? I mean, he's capable of ending the year on a tear and being good when it matters most in the playoffs, which we've seen the Preds' top lines struggle in the playoffs. So maybe saving his best for last.
Well, and some of it, I think, has to do with consistency because we've talked about, you know, trying to find, some consistent lines for this group and consistent players playing together, especially in the top six. Like Bonino, Grimaldi, and Smith, they've played together pretty much the entire year. We get it. That line has chemistry. They've been really good. But you need to have that take place in your top six forward group as well. And a large part of that has been because when they have been together this year, they haven't been as productive as they needed to be, and the coach just can't sit there and leave that together for 10 games without you being productive. At some point, you've got to switch it up.
But it's not situated
right now. I mean, it's not situated the way I think we think it should be. I mean, Philip Forsberg has spent some time this year with Matt Duchesne and Mikael Granlund. They haven't done that as much as of late. I'm interested to see what an extended look of that could look like now that Granlund has started to really play well, really find his game. Maybe you try that at some point coming up here, put Forsberg back with Duchesne and Granlund. With the way Granlund's playing right now, I think he's going to make anybody that plays with him look better.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's the guy right now. What do you think? You mentioned it earlier. What do you think a contract would look like if the Preds could keep him if he continues this play and if it could work out?
It's going to be tough because Granlund right now, I think he's making like close to $6 million. That number is going to go up just because that's what happens in free agency.
Work.
He's probably going to be making at least $6.5 million per year would be my guess when he gets to free agency. Now, obviously, I don't know that for sure. But at that point, I mean, you got Roman Josi's contract kicking in next year. That's over $9 million. Johansson and Duchesne both already make $8 million against the cap. Forsberg at $6 million. I mean, you're running out of room at this point. Ellis's contract as well. I mean, you're running out of room to really make that work. So the conversation, I think, if you're going to make Granlund's contract work next year would be like this. Like if the Predators either get into the playoffs and one of your top four forwards that we've talked about in Duchesne, Johansson, Arvidsson, and Forsberg, they continue to not be productive. They continue to not get things figured out this year. The only way I see Granlund being able to work and being able to come back with this group next year, somebody's going to have to go. I mean, you're going to have to trade some big money off of your list if you want to make that work. Could there be other ways to crunch it and make it work? Maybe. But I kind of doubt it at this point just from a salary cap position. I think you'd have to trade somebody to make Granlund's contract work if it gets into that $6.5 million, $7 million a year range, which is very much good.
Yeah, or if you continue this play, might be out of that range.
Might be out of that range. And I think, you know, look, this is a good problem to have because this means that Granlund is being productive right now for your team. And, you know, a lot of people were talking about after the trade deadline on Monday, how could they go by and let Granlund walk away for nothing? Well, last night's game was kind of the perfect example of why you could do that, because he is going to be a key part of you making a push towards the playoffs this year. And if you end up making a run in the playoffs with Mikael Granlund and you get to the Western Conference Final or the Stanley Cup Final,
that's why.
And he walks, who cares? At that point, he helped you get deep into the playoffs as well. So,
as David Poyle said, sometimes the best trade is no trade.
Absolutely. So, look, I get it. I understand not wanting to lose assets essentially for nothing and letting them walk away. But also, I mean, they're back in a playoff spot right now. And I think on Monday when the deadline was around, they were 2 points out. So I think it's starting to see why David Poyle made this decision to keep Mikael Granlund around and to make this push towards the playoffs here.
Absolutely. And he, as we mentioned, he's the guy, and he's honestly one of my favorite guys to talk to in the locker room. And he's got that, you know, spark plug that they need. And as we mentioned with that 2017 team, so many different guys that, you know, maybe didn't have it in the regular season, were bringing it in the postseason. And if you were to trade him, you know, you never know where the Preds are at now, because that's 11 less goals than what they had before John Hines came in.
Darren McFarland has texted me and refreshed my memory. We were talking about that Colorado game at Pepsi Center earlier. It was 8-3 after the second period. The Predators were actually winning that game 3-2. They were up 3-2, and then all of a sudden it was 8-3. So now that he says that, yes, it was a disaster of all disasters in the second part of that second period. When we come back, we've got a Hall of Famer that's going to join us next here on Morning Drive. The legendary Terry Crisp. That's up next on Morning Drive here with Robbie Stanley and Justin Beasley here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Marquise Munson is an absolute stud with the music he brings us back with. Robbie Stanley alongside Justin Beasley here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And our next guest, he truly is the best. I mean, he is the best of all time. It is Terry Crisp, Preds TV analyst, joins us now by phone. Crispy, what's going on, my man?
Well, not a whole lot this morning. I said my coffee is tasting great. Up and saw that we jumped back up in the race again with the boys in the playoff spot. And other than that, it's a good day so far.
Terry Crisp is brought to you by Highland Group. And Crispy, before we get started into the game last night, let me wish you a congratulations being inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. It was really cool to watch that video that FS Tennessee put out yesterday of your surprise induction. What was that moment like for you, and what does it mean to you to be inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame?
Well, I got to be honest with you. When we're in the middle of our broadcast meeting, which we have every morning, the day of the games, well, there's some stuff we want to do and talk over and whatnot. And when Pete Weber came in with Brad, I said, what the heck is Pete Weber? He never walks into the middle of our thing. You know, Pete never does that, and he never brings a guy in with him. And he walks in and says, Crispy, I got a gentleman here, and he just wanted to meet you and just wanted to have a couple words with you. I don't know. Okay, I said, it doesn't look like a policeman, but it's okay. So then when Brad was finished telling me, and I was about halfway through what he said, I said, I started looking around the table because, don't forget, I'm sitting at this table with Hal Gill, Chris Mason, Willie Donick, Kara, and Lindsay, and Cole. I thought, okay, nice joke, guys. You punked me. You got me. It's a nice joke and whatever. And they're all, and they got that dozy grin on their faces that, you know, like, ah, we got you. Then I realized that Brad was serious. It didn't set in right then. I didn't really click this to what he said. And then when it did click, for the first time, you guys know me, in a long time, and Lindsay said it's the first time she's ever seen it happen, I didn't have any words. I didn't know what to say then. Like, usually I'm pretty good at something coming out, but afterwards I was telling Brad and him, I got to say it's an honor, and I'm privileged, and I'm going in with Mr. Corbin, Tim Corbin, the coach, and Jeff Fisher, and the other people that are already in, but it's sort of when I got home thinking, you know, it's neat, and I like it mainly because it sort of represents the Nashville Predators organization. And they were the vehicle that brought us here and gave me a chance to. My wife and I spent 21 years here when we came to do one game. And it reflects the fact that if I'm going in, I'm representing that whole organization and the chance it gave us and what we've all done, everybody in that organization from day one to now, to gain the foothold we got in the community. So to me, that's what it represents. And I'm thankful for it and proud of it.
Crispy, if you would have told 15-year-old Terry Crisp, good old Ontario boy, that one day he's going to end up in the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, what would you have said?
They'd have said, back then when I was 15, I don't think you could smoke that stuff. I don't think it was around.
Well, Crispy, obviously the game last night ended in about as dramatic as fashion as you could see, particularly in a regular season game. What was that like to watch that game? And how much can a win like that in the way that the game was won propel the Predators as they move forward, man, down the stretch here?
I got to tell you, my hand's still sore. I hit that desk so hard when they scored their goal. Poor Lindsay, she jumped, and I was so mad when I hit it because it worked so hard to get back in. When they got that goal, I was just fuming. And I still better, and suddenly, with the 0.1 second to go, when Grannon jams that one home, Lindsay, she whacks me in the shoulder about three times. She's so excited. She's just jumping. And I said, okay, Now we're even, Lindsay. I scared the heck out of you. You smacked the heck out of me. And we're going into overtime. And when he scored in overtime, then I was ready for Lindsay. I said, no, my shoulder's still sore. Still sore. It was one of those nights where, and the fans were just, like, I've heard them loud. And I've heard our fans raucous and whatnot. But we were sitting on the concourse. When we tied it up, I didn't think you could hear. Could get any louder. And then when Granlund jams home that, or fires that little overtime goal, then it just took the roof right off it. So, and our fans have been waiting for that for a while, for something to really get loose with.
Crispy, I know on the broadcast last night you guys, you know, mentioned, you know, thank God we didn't trade Mikael Granlund at the trading deadline. What has he meant to this team, especially since the coaching change to John Hines? 11 goals certainly is making a difference of late.
Yeah, and you know, when he did that, and then what he's done in the last few games, and I was sitting there after the games, you know, I worked for a GM, a very smart GM at one time. He said, you know, some of the best moves that we as GMs make are the ones that we don't make. And this obviously turned out, because we all know that Granlund's name had batted around enough for, was he going to become a free agent and we're going to trade him? And David Poile, as per usual, doesn't do knee-jerk things and sat tight with his team and had... And Granlund, I think, whatever happened, and when John Hines came in and tweaked a few things around, and then whatever he talked with Granlund about, it worked. And now he's playing like the player that when we got him, we were told that he was capable of doing. And that's a great plus for us right now coming down. He's playing like he is. Smitty's playing like he is. Bonino's doing his job, but he does. Grimaldi. And the ones that, you know, that they're expecting are now doing it.
Absolutely. And some of the top-line guys, though, are not. Like, you know, Philip Forsberg, Mikael Grant, not Mikael Grant, Philip Forsberg, some of the top guys. What can John Hines do to get those guys more involved, you know, like Ryan Johansson and the top guys, to see more production out of them than we've had in the past?
You know what, in all honesty, I think John Hines has done a marvelous job of trying that, and have been a coach for 20 years plus. He has tweaked, moved, given them every chance. And I think right now it boils down to the fact that the names that you're mentioning, they've got to do it themselves. They have to know it. They have to realize it. And the time for just mouthing platitudes now is over. Or for saying, you know, yeah, I know I have. That time is over. We're coming down a stretch run where every point is needed by this hockey club. And last night I thought that Philip Forsberg played one of his best games I've seen in a while, and he was the Philip of old. He was playing with a chip on his shoulder, and he was playing with grit, and he was laying the body on guys. He hit about three or four guys in the corners. He got that rear end. Remember, he puts the rear end to them, controls the puck. He was doing that. He was getting to the net. He made that great pass, that great play to Granlund for the tying goal and whatnot. So that was a big plus last night, watching him come now, because a couple of the other ones get a hold of it. We're back in business. But again, and I'm going to say it, it rests in their hands. You can only lead them so far, then they've got to take charge of it.
Crispy, last thing for you here. We all know how important goaltending has been for this team throughout really the history of their franchise. I thought Saros was fantastic last night, and the way that he and Rene are playing right now has got to be encouraging for this group moving forward.
You know, we're blessed with two goaltenders, Rene and Saros. And I've said so many times in the early days, yes, we won the game, but we won it simply because either Rene or Saros, coming down the stretch run, had made so many point-blank saves. And I said it last night that this has to change. I mean, you can't run that wagon forever. They have been pulling our chestnuts out of the fire. Now the guys have to, and Coach Hines has said this last night. He said, we had too many odd man rushes, way too many odd man rushes last night. You have to give the other team some credit. But we also give too many point-blank scoring chances. I don't think any other goaltender we've met, played against, has had to stop the point-blank chances from our team that our two goaltenders have done for us. So right now we're in the hunt because we are blessed to have Saros and Rene.
Well, Crispy, once again, congratulations on your induction into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. I know for a lot of people my age, you and Pete Weber were what we grew up on watching hockey and really introduced us to a game. So thanks for all you've done for our city, for this organization, and it's truly well-deserved, my friend.
Well-deserved.
Thank you so much, and like I said, I'm very, very honored.
Terry Crist, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest. Crispy, have a good day, and just a wonderful human being, Terry Crist. Well-deserved honor to get into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. Terry Crist, brought to you each week at this time by Highland Group. You could tell that Crispy in that reaction yesterday was very moved by being inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. And it's a heck of a class they've got thrown together now. I mean, they've got him. They've got Tim Corbin was inducted yesterday as well. Jeff Fisher was inducted as well. So really cool things going on right now at the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame.
Not a bad class. And it's funny because I was watching last night and it said, you know, he said, I got nothing to say. And then they just cut it off. And you don't know if there's something said after that.
Well, I'm sure
doesn't
there may
need to be broadcast. It could have been. But he genuinely was like, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know if it's a cop, law enforcement. Just he had no clue what to think. And that's really the best kind of surprise, is just one that totally caught off guard by.
Absolutely. And when we come back, we're going to continue the Preds discussion. Crispy hit on the goaltending aspect of it there as well. That's been huge for the Predators. We'll get into that a little bit more as of late. But first, ESPN 102.5 The Game is hitting the road for a Preds game. This year it's off to Columbus to cheer on the Preds as they take on the Blue Jackets at Nationwide Arena on Saturday, March 14th. Tickets are on sale now, so to purchase those, visit thegamenashville.com. The trip is organized by Simply a Fan. Visit simplyafan.com for other upcoming sports adventures. Transportation for the trip provided by Gray Line of Tennessee. We'll be back next to talk about the Preds. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Justin Beasley from News 4 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside the beautiful and talented Justin Beasley
from
News 4 and the even more beautiful Marquise Munson behind the glass back there, bringing us in with the great hits today. He's doing such a wonderful job. Justin, we had Terry Crisp on in the last segment, and we mentioned the Predators' goaltending. Saros, and look, obviously a lot of people are going to pay attention to Granlund today and just the way that game ended, and deservedly so. You don't see that happen very often, and that was a very dramatic, very awesome way for the Predators to win that game. But they're not even in that game last night if it's not for UC Saros. He was awesome in the second period. He was awesome in the early part of the third period to really keep them in that game. Calgary probably had four or five chances at least of really, really high quality in both the second and third periods to take a multi-goal lead in that game. And Saros was there. He was poised. He made huge save after huge save right on the doorstep. And he struggled at the first part of this year. Pacarine struggled as well. The goaltending seems to be coming around quite nicely for this team at the right time. And it's like the quarterback in football. If you've got that going for you,
ride him.
You've got a pretty good chance each and every night to win.
In television, we call this a melt reel when you have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or a million just highlights and you put them together.
Right.
Every night there seems to be a melt reel of one of the goaltenders just stopping these point-blank shots. And as Terry Crist said, you know, how many shots has he stopped point-blank? I know we look at it with gold glasses on, but it legitimately feels like UC Saros stops more of those shots every night than the opposing goaltender, does it not?
Oh, especially as of late. I mean, the Predators have done a very good job of winning games lately and getting points. They've spent a pretty significant amount of time in the defensive zone lately, too, defending.
Yeah.
The goaltending having to come up with huge saves. Saros and Rene, I think, both have done excellent jobs of that during the past stretch here. Perfect world, you'd probably like to spend a little bit more time in the offensive zone, though, and kind of push the pace the other
Absolutely.
Way and generate more zone time and quality chances. Now, I do think they've gotten a lot better since the coaching change has been made of making a heavy emphasis on getting to some of those areas where you get the quality chances from. Still think they could probably spend a little bit more time in the offensive zone and to be on the tack more.
Yeah, and UC Saros has done a great job kind of, I don't know, taking over the role of being called upon more in the crease than Pecorine has been. Do you think, in your opinion, to where this timetable is, because Peck has been the guy for so long and still is, but with the amount of chances now that UC Saros is getting behind net and increased, especially this season, is he performing up to about what you thought he would with his given experience?
Well, he certainly is as of late, because I think we've all just assumed that Saros is going to be the guy for the future. He's going to be the goaltender of the future. And really, the last 2-3 years, that hasn't been questioned. I'll be honest with you. I mean, about halfway through this season, once we got into mid-December, early part of January,
yeah,
I was a little hesitant. I was like, you know, Saros has not had a good year at all.
Right.
And Pekka hadn't up until that point as well. But Saros really was not playing well. And it got me thinking about, okay, is he really going to be the long-term solution at the starting goaltending position for this group? It's one thing to come in and play well as a backup. There's a role for that, no question. It's different when you know you're the guy and you're going to play 55, 60 games every season. And we still don't know what that looks like from UC Saros, but certainly he's been, I think, what most would classify as the starter the last 3-4 weeks, and just in terms of the bulk of the starts that he's gotten. And he's responded, I think, just about as well as you could have possibly hoped. So that part, to me, I think, is really encouraging as they move forward. And also encouraging that, number one, Rinne has accepted the role that he's been dealt the last few weeks, but also has performed really well inside of that role. I mean, in October, he was great. I think Rinne started the season 8-0-2, I think, was his record.
Same old Pekka.
Yeah, same old Pekka. I mean, people were talking about, could he make another run this year at potentially winning the Vezina Trophy? Obviously, things derailed in November and into December, where goaltending as a whole on this team was questioned. But I think both of those guys, in the roles that they've had the last 3 weeks or so, they have done a really good job of responding. And as we said, that could be, you know, we talk about Duchesne and Johansson, Forsberg, all these things are really important to get going, and you're going to need that to happen if you're going to make a run in the playoffs. But the most important part to get going is your goaltending, and they've done that as of late.
Yeah, it's almost imperative that it was corrected more than those top guys you mentioned, getting them going. And I think with the way that the Preds are playing right now in this last month, they have to continue the goalie system the way it is, kind of giving UC Saros a couple of more starts than Pekka, asking Pekka to be great, checking him out in practice, seeing his preparation, putting him in here and there. You have to go with the hot hand. You have to go with what works. And I think you just have to continue that throughout the season. I mean, and you mentioned as well, Pekka accepting it. This only works with the right personalities in the room. And, of course, you know, we think highly of those guys because we see them all the time. It's different when it actually happens. But these two guys, as far as the personality of, hey, we need you to step up a little bit more. Hey, Pekka, we might need you to have a little bit more reserved role. They've done a really good job up to this point, and that's not easy in professional sports where, let's be honest, in locker rooms, those guys have egos, and you almost have to have one to be that good at your sport.
Yeah.
But they've done a great job of alternating in the crease, and you just got to continue it at this point.
Got a text in on the text line. We were having a conversation earlier about Mikael Granlund and maybe the Predators potentially finding a way to do some salary cap gymnastics and find a way to get him back here next season. It's going to be difficult to do. A text in on the text line says, what about trading off Austin Watson in his contract and bringing up Trennan and Blackwell to allow room for Granlund at the end of this season? That's an okay idea in theory. I think when you look at Austin Watson's contract, the cap hit is not overly significant. So he just signed a 3-year contract extension this year, I think back in October. And I think once that kicks in, his cap hit is like $1.5 million per year. So you're not talking about a whole lot of money and a whole lot of salary cap hit at that point. The Predators might need even more room than that to bring in Mikael Granlund back on a new contract next year if he's making $6.5, $6.75 million per season, whatever that number ends up being. He did bring up Trennan in that text, though, and I think you're going to see him pretty soon. He's playing really well in Milwaukee. He's played well during his time with the Predators so far this year. We mentioned in a caller called in earlier in the show talking about Colin Blackwell. Blackwell's been awesome in the last 4 games. He's come in. He was a healthy scratch before that, came back in the lineup, and has played to the point now, or just at the moment, where the way the Predators are going right now, it's difficult for me to imagine a scenario where they're going to take him out of the lineup. I think he's got points in 4 straight games, 5 points in 4 games, was made 2 really big plays last night for the Predators, including on the first goal of the game to Colton Sisson. So some of these depth guys that have stepped up in the last stretch here, that's going to be important as you move ahead, Aaron. And just think about where this team would be. You know, we've mentioned Grimaldi, Bonino, Smith all year long. Granlund started to come alive offensively. You're getting contributions now from Sissons and Colin Blackwell. Imagine where this team would be if their star guys did start to perform, if they did start to get production from Duchesne, Johansson, Forsberg, Arvidsson on a consistent basis. At that point, if this production from everybody else continues at the rate it's at right now, I mean, you're talking about maybe the best offensive team in the Western Conference at that point.
Yeah, these are all good problems to have with you know, the finagling of the contracts, and they always seem to work themselves out, and you never know. You know, John Hines has, you know, input on the roster, but we really haven't seen a full offseason of him, you know, wanting to put his system in place. And because right now he might be working with misfits with his system. You just never know, depending on what he likes and what he doesn't like as far as his strengths and whatnot. But, man, the role guys are there, and it's hard to get role guys going with the top guys all at the same time. But right now the role guys are right there in the thick of things, and you want them to be able to play well when the top guys are not. And at least we have that answer right now, is that they can step up when needed. You know, Rocco Grimaldi, Mikhail Granlund, you know, they've done it when they've been called upon.
They have, and I think especially after last night's game, the tone of the fan base is starting to change, because I still think to begin this week at the trading deadline, after David Poile made the decision not to sell, to pretty much virtually stand pat at the deadline, I think there were a lot of people that were very, I guess, hesitant to believe in this group, even though they were only 2 points out of a playoff spot. I think the tone is starting to change with the way that they're fighting back in games, the way that they're winning games, and you think back to, you know, teams in the past in the NHL that have been successful in the playoffs. Obviously, talent is a big part of it. Goaltending is a gigantic part of it. Those are always going to be the two most important things. But some of it is having that mental toughness, that ability to grind things out, that ability to have that, for lack of a better term, magic kind of a run to you that we felt here in Nashville in 2017. Not saying this team is there yet. There's still a long way to go before they get to that point. But there have been signs of them trending in that direction as of late, which early on in the season were totally non-existent.
No, I honestly didn't think would happen. But you can only do so much with goaltending at the trade deadline anyway, and I think they have the talent. I mean, the moves that David Poile has made the last 3 years, talent is not the question, at least certainly to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I think that was the right move to stand pat. That was my gut, at least the last 2 weeks going in, was – you know, we're starting to kind of see the Turner corner. Now I've seen them turn the corner. Again, they could still lose, not make the playoffs, but perception, at least from the fans, yeah, the Preds feel different.
They do.
When they take the ice every night.
Yeah, there's no longer that doom and gloom that I think really surrounded, especially when something went wrong at home. Or like when they got scored on at home in like December, people were just like, oh, God.
I know.
No, not again. There's none of that anymore, which I think is really important, because that can become – something that's mental for players as well.
Yeah.
And now that they've battled through that, I think that's really important.
Playing at home can be the hardest sometimes, but they got their heads above water. They're in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
If it started today.
When we come back, Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville will join us. We'll get into Tennessee's basketball week that has been a disaster when you look back at Auburn last week, in Arkansas as well. Things have not gone well for the Volunteers in the past week or so. We'll get into that next. You're listening to Morning Drive, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumAlone.com, with Robbie Stanley and Justin Beasley here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.